We did say this is our third lesson on it. This is part three of it. So what is prosperity? We said that it's a condition of being successful or thriving or flourishing luxuriantly. I added a few more things to it. And to yield abundantly, continually. Amen. It is to advance or to gain. The Greek dictionary says it's to advance or gain anything good or desirable. Or being successful, to make progress in any business or enterprise, or to attain a desired objective. Hallelujah. Well, we have endeavored all this while to make it clear that prosperity is a part of the new covenant. It is. It's not the main thing. You know, some people are against prosperity because there is a current emphasis on it in the body of Christ around the world. But it's not the main thing. And we're not supposed to be against it, because that would be the other extreme. Praise the Lord. Everybody's required. God has made provision for all of us to prosper. It's important that we know that. God wants every believer to prosper. God does not want any of us to be in poverty, to fail, or to be discouraged, or to be in a place where we're not, you know, people are asking, where is your God? It's supposed to be that in the time of the famine, the righteous feed fat. We flourish all through the year, all through the years. Now, but there are principles that we have to follow. There are, even though God has paid a price, Jesus has paid a price for us to prosper. We dealt with that in the previous lessons. Praise the Lord Jesus. So when somebody comes to you and when you're talking about prosperity and they say that, you know, prosperity is not the only thing that is not, is of the devil, is distracting us from going to heaven and all of that. That's a very stupid thing to say, because that person does not know, wants to destroy or to handicap the gospel. Hallelujah. The message of the gospel is spread abroad and in part sustained by money. And money comes by the power of God. In Zechariah chapter 1, verse 17, the Holy Ghost speaking through Zechariah said, "Cry yet, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Lord of hosts, my cities, true prosperity, shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem." Praise the Lord. The power of God makes financial prosperity or money possible. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, God stated there that he wanted to prosper Israel. And Israel was that was the old covenant. There's a new covenant that spreads through the whole earth, including Israel. Hallelujah. Written in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And all the good things of the old are included in the new. We've dealt with that. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 6. Hallelujah. It said, "Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, and of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, the land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thine herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, and who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand had gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against thee this day, that ye shall perish. That's what God said to the children of Israel. Now, I want us to underline verse 17. It's important. All right, bear in mind, it says that he's the one who gave the power. But, and thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand had gotten me this wealth. Amen? We as believers are required to do three things if we want to prosper. But let me deal with this part of it because we're going to come back to it. Amen? There's a reason why the children of Israel might get to the point where they feel that it was their might or their power that got them the wealth. I just want you to bear that in mind. Put it in the back burner somewhere. We're going to come back to it. Amen? So God requires us to do a few things, which is the fact that we are open to learning or knowing the scriptures, coming to learn the word of God, coming to hear the word of God, the promise of God. So one of the things that he expects us to do is to hear the word of God from his ministers. Hear God's word from preachers. Why did I come to that conclusion? In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says there, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Amen? You will not have faith except they preach to you. And actually, there's a relationship between knowledge of the word of God and faith. If the knowledge of the word of God is there, then there is faith. If you don't know what God is talking about, you do not have faith. What you have is presumption. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 10, we start from verse 14. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So believing is an important part of it. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And they have not all obeyed the gospel. But Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God anyway. Now, so faith has to come for us to believe what God has said, for us to be able to see it. Amen? So now, we're not, though it says we should hear the word from the preacher, it's important for us to note that we have to be going through the scriptures as the minister is speaking so that he does not bring in something that is extraneous, something that God did not include in his promise, or begin to tell us fables and stuff that don't make any sense. All right? When that happens, God says we should not listen. In Acts chapter 17, verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. And in verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So we are required to do that. We hear the preacher, we compare what he's saying to what is written. You have to go to church with your Bible. The Bible is not a deco. It's not something, you know, like a purse. You know, these days they make Bibles that have these whatever. It's not a fashion thing. Hallelujah. It's the written word of God. It's the written word of God. Hallelujah. So as we listen, we must compare what is written to what the preacher is saying. But we must listen to the preacher. A preacher at least. Somebody, a living spirit speaking the word of God. It's important that we do that. Amen. God made it that way. Hallelujah. And they give you instructions. It is through them that prophetic instructions come to us. It doesn't matter whether the person is a prophet right now or not. He can give you an instruction by the word of God that when you carry it out, it's as good as you listening to the Lord. A lot of people say that God is leading them and they cannot obey simple, straightforward scriptures spoken by another person. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, it says, And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye what? Prosper. So there's a relationship between the word you're hearing and your prosperity. If you hear a preacher who does not believe in prosperity, he's always criticizing it, don't sow your seed there. You are going to be poor. Because he doesn't believe in it. Not because it's not a valid new covenant promise, but because he has something against it. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, remember that we're trying to overcome the feeling that if we prosper, then we will not be righteous. We won't make heaven, like some people will say. If we have money, the Bible talks about the deceitfulness of riches. But money cannot deceive a wise person. Money can only destroy a fool. The Bible says prosperity would destroy the fool. It doesn't say that prosperity would destroy the righteous or the wise. So there is wisdom of God that we need to have. And that was what we were reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. He's saying you must remember whatever is happening. I know you have had sleepless nights while you were doing the business. You wrote your proposal or whatever. You had, you know, you worked what would seem hard in getting your pay at the end of the month and all of that. But God said, he is the one giving you the power to make money. He says, and thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. The reason is that there is the human element to what God will do. From the beginning, it has been that way. Even before Adam fell, it had been that way. Praise the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to show you in a little bit. Now, you hear the preacher. The next thing you need to do is that you should study and meditate on the word of God. Remember that prosperity is not the main thing. It's a you know what I mean? It's a fringe benefit. And it ends here. That's financial prosperity ends here. We will prosper in heaven, that is true. But it's a different kind of prosperity. It's not the one that, you know, we're doing here. Like our clothing, you know, the kind of designer, it's heaven designer clothing. It's different. It ain't what we have here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The first thing is that we're born again. We're happy with that. We're full of joy because we're saved. We have a garment of righteousness in the spirit. Now, these things are not here. You know, in the realm, they're not in the realm of the senses, they're in the spirit. But it's there. Just like this morning. I began to feel, you know, there's something that God has added. Hallelujah. So we need to meditate upon the word of God. Read the word, study the word, meditate upon the word of God. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, there, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you have to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. There's a way to divide the word that it's not right. So you deceive yourself or delude yourself when you're not rightly interpreting or bringing the right interpretation to the word of God. God wants us to be able to do that. Hallelujah. And what are we? We're studying the word. When we say the word, is the scriptures we're looking at. We're looking at the written word of God. You know, some people like revelation without looking at the word. They want to live their lives, but I like that preacher. There's a way he says it. There's a way he does it and all of that. You know, no matter how nice your preacher is and the ways, you know, the language of, you know, the salesman, the razzmatazz, whatever he's doing, if it does not line up with the word of God, you and your preacher are deceived. And it will not work in the day of battle. The day that you face the challenges of this life, because the storms of life, you know, the storms, the rain, the storms, they come to all. What makes us survive or overcome is how we are built. Amen? Glory be to God. It's what we believe. Now, if you don't believe the word of God, when things come, you have no weapons. You just have tears. And if you're not in church at all, that would just be too bad. You know, when you're in church, you have people to cry to. When you cry, they start praying, they start fasting for you and start praying and all of that and pouring oil and doing all kinds of stuff, you know. But when you're not in church, the Bible says, woe unto you if you're alone. Because if you fall, there'll be nobody to pick you up. They wouldn't even know you're there. So the Christian who says, I don't like church folk. You know, I like Jesus, but I don't like church folk. Don't let Jesus hear you. You don't know what you have just said. The Bible says we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. The reason why you're operating with that level of ignorance and talking something that would damn your soul is that you're not reading the word. Because if you were reading the scriptures, if you fear the Lord, you will not say such a thing. You know what you're saying? I don't like the church, but I love Jesus. How's that even possible? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So God gave us the word to profit us, for us to know what the teachings are. It's not the preacher. The preacher does not have a franchise for knowledge of the word of God. All of us ought to know the word. The purpose of God is to bring every believer to the same level of understanding of the word of God. Yeah, I'm supposed to be telling you what I'm doing. You're supposed to pray. I'm not just supposed to be praying for you. No, you're supposed to pray. When we have prayer meeting, it's not for a select few, select group of people, you know, those Christians who don't have anything they are doing. They can go and pray. You know, we it's not for us, you know. We're busy. I feel sorry for you. Can I ask you a question? Let's say all of us are driving to Georgia now. I have a full tank of gas. Somebody has another full tank. You have half tank. The other has a quarter tank. And says, I was too busy walking, so I couldn't go to the gas station to get some gas. How many of us know you're going to be stopping somewhere between here and Georgia? And if you know, there's a lot of that stretch of miles way that there's no gas station. So that is foolish. We are going for the marriage supper of the king. And all of us are supposed to take oil with us. That oil is indicative of the anointing. And if you don't have oil in your vessel, when the bridegroom comes in, and you light your lamp, and he goes, you go buy from the sellers. And the Bible says when you go out, and he comes in and the door is shut. Once that door is shut, there's no opening it. That's like the ark. Can you imagine that one of the sons of Noah said, I need to go and buy, you know, I like that ice cream they have over there. Let me go get it. You know, and they shut the door to the ark and God sealed it from the outside. That would have been bad. Hallelujah. So we have to study the word of God, meditate upon it. Observe as we're reading and meditating on the word, it will dawn on us what we're saying, and we will do the word. We will observe what he's saying. We'll observe difference. We'll be able to say, this is what God is saying here. This is not, I thought he said this, but that's not what he's saying. He actually means the other one. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, it says, and this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way what? Prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. So through the word of God, we live a successful life. We're able to know what God wants us to do, and we will do it. We know how he wants us to reason. We know how he wants us to operate. There's a way of righteousness. In that way, in that path of righteousness, there is life. In the pathway thereof, there is, in the way of righteousness, there is life. In the pathway thereof, there is no death.